A message for America. Amen. Exodus chapter 12. Kind of felt like the Lord was saying amen to this portion I picked out this morning as I listened to the singing and the music today for Memorial Day. Exodus chapter 12. In this portion, we're dealing with the Passover and the Lord telling them not to forget it, to make a memorial out of it. The word memorial comes, I guess, on the thought of remembering things. I think about the man went to the doctor and told him, said, I got to have something done. I can't remember anything. The guy told him, said, well, I can do a surgery on you. It'll get your memory back. But he said, there's another problem with it. It'll take your eyesight away. And the fellow said, well, Lord, don't take my eyesight away. I'd rather see where I'm going than to remember where I've been. But I want to tell you something. Remembering where you've been has a lot to do with where you're going. And that's what Memorial Day is all about, really, if you think about it a little bit. Exodus chapter 12. Starting verse 11, I think it's a familiar story. I won't read a lot of it. Lord says, and this shall ye eat it. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded. That means you're dressed, your shoes are on your feet, your staffs in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass, and notice he says I, it doesn't say the death angel here, but says I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods, see the little g on the gods there, little g gods of Egypt. 10 plagues all aimed at the Egyptian gods. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. That's the same word he gave Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. Ladies were singing about this a while ago. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague, by the way, God's in control of the plagues too, viruses and everything else. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it at a feast by an ordinance forever. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but I hope you remember the story. Remember how the lamb had to be taken and his blood had to be shed and the blood had to be put over the doorpost for that night. And that's where you get the word Passover. God passed over. He didn't bring judgment where he saw the blood. And by the way, under Jesus, you and I are under the blood. And the judgment of God can only pass over you if you're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we're in the context of the Passover. It was a time of God's deliverance. And he said to them, I don't want you to forget it. I want you to have a memorial to it and not forget it. Now, he defeated the gods of Egypt here in verse 12. He kept the plague away from his people. And Memorial Day in America is special. We ought to remember our blessings just like he was asking these Jews to remember when he passed over and they were under the blood. Amen. You know, long time back, a Memorial Day was a special day in our churches in America. Veterans were honored. We thought about thanking God for his deliverance from the world wars and all that our nation had been through. And churches played a great role. If we look back, you don't have to look back all that far. I think about World War II. I think about how that churches were involved. When the soldier boys would come home on furlough and they'd come home, there'd be service centers, so to speak, set up in churches. And I had some friends that were a little bit older than me that told me later, they said, we'd a lot rather go to the churches because they treated us better than any place else we could go. They showed respect and they had goodies for us. And I remember one fellow telling me, he said, the best sleep I ever got was going up behind the pulpit on that thick carpet in that Baptist church. And he said, I could just sleep. And he talked about how the churches cared about and respected them. I was not old enough to be in the war. Some of you think I was, but I wasn't. But I do have some memories as a kid. I remember where you just didn't pass a soldier if he was hitchhiking, you picked him up. I mean, I've even seen fellas turn around and go back and get them. I mean, respect for the soldiers in World War II. Let me tell you, it used to be in America that, you'd be right, and buses were a bigger deal. The Greyhounds and the Trailways and all those buses during the time of war there, and gas rationed and everything else. Anyway, do you know that they so respected the soldier boy that men on a bus not only would stand up and give their seat to a lady, they'd stand up and give their seat to a serviceman that stepped on the bus. That was the time I'm talking about back there. And as we have Memorial Day, I think about that a little bit. Americans respected and honored and thanked God for his deliverance and the people that he used to preserve our freedom. Today we see an attack on churches, and that attack on churches is an attack on America itself, on what made America great, on our godly values and all that. Listen, you go back with the church being involved all the way back to the time of the revolution from the King of England. Don't you remember having to memorize the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere? Remember that one? Some of you don't remember much. At least nod your head. Fake me out. You used to being faked out all over the TV all the time. You remember the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere? The British are coming? Remember that? You remember about how that the fellow went up in the tower of the Old North Church in Boston, and two lanterns meant they're coming by sea. One lantern meant they're coming by land. The church was involved. And all the way back from the time of our revolution in 1776 and all of that, the church played a part. And the church has played a part through World War I and II and Korea and Vietnam and all of that. But today we're seeing the church as being non-essential and not important and even under attack. And we've seen that in this shutdown business with the virus big time. It's sad. What we got happening today, the church is under attack. Listen, when they tell a church you got to socially distance yourself, I don't know whether you like that or not, but that I don't like that. Amen. I'm not going to tell a family that lives together to come to church and sit separately. Amen. I'm stupid, but not that bad. Amen. I resent that stuff. Did you see in the news this week where they said churches are going to have to quit singing? Yeah. They said no longer shaking hands, no longer singing. Things are going to be different. Well, not this church. Amen. Not here it won't be. Won't be at all. Listen, the word church itself means ecclesia, which means an assembly. You know what? We're not a church if we can't assemble like God told us to. See, it's an attack on the church. If you're going to socially distance, you can't shake hands, you can't sing, you can't come to church and assemble together. Did you see in the news this week where they burned the church down and wrote in the pavement, "I guess you'll stay home now"? That's an attack, folks. I mean, that's a big attack. That's what exactly is going on right now. How many can you have in the congregation? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Rest of you leave. Not me. But that's what they're saying do. I can't help it. You say, you've been on this for weeks. I'm going to be on it for a while. I'll give you warning. I'm going to be on it for a while. I'm taking God's side in this thing. And I'm going to stand for what I know his word says, not what some bureaucrat, some liberal, some jerk, if you please, tells me what to do. Amen. Now, Memorial Day, we ought to get back to some basics and think about some things that are really important. They tell us now you're going to have virtual church, whatever that means. What it means is you're going to have to stay online because we're going to control the line. You can use our technology, but we control it. Help yourself, folks. That's what we're seeing. That's what we're hearing. That's what we heard all week. This week, that's what you heard. But Memorial Day ties in being thankful to God for his deliverance. Like these Jews were thankful and set up a memorial that God had delivered them from Egypt and under the plagues and the whole thing and under the gods of Egypt, and God had delivered them. I want to say Memorial Day ought to be a time we thank God for delivering America, that we can still have our freedom and our constitutional rights, which are definitely under threat right now. And the only way we'll lose them is God's people just surrender. I said God's people. Not talking about the world. Much of the world don't understand much. I guess it was last night, Waters World, he sometimes goes out on the street and interviews some of the funny folks out on the street. And here was the question he was asking them. What is Memorial Day about? College kids. I said college kids. Moms and dads pay the big bucks to send them somewhere to make them smart. And it's failing, I can tell you that. But I mean, the questions he was asking them out there, what is Memorial Day? And you know they couldn't get even close to get it right. Finally, one of them said something about war. And he asked them, said, well, who did we fight in World War II? And they said, I don't know, the South. Another one said, Spain. No, nothing. Dummies with degrees somebody paid for. It's amazing. You see that kind of, I mean, some really funny stuff if you wanted to laugh, but I couldn't help but say how sad. No wonder we're losing our freedom. They have forgot what made us great to start with, what kind of foundation we were built on. Our freedoms and our constitutional rights. But listen, the church is important. It was planned by Jesus. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that intimates it's going to be a struggle. You're going to be struggling trying to keep souls out of hell, and the devil's going to do everything he can to stop you. And so there is a struggle. There's always been a struggle. But it's an amazing thing to me today how God's people seem to be siding too often against the church instead of for it. I do see a little rising up that's happening, and I thank God for it. The president and our governor has been strong. The president said this week he hoped the church would open back up on Memorial Day. He caught a lot of flack for it. I understand that. And our governor has said from the beginning that church was essential. So I thank God for them. And I thank God for some good local common sense authorities in our county, in our city, and in our state. We've been blessed. We're in a better place right here than what you're seeing on the news in most places. Thank God for that. This week we opened our Christian school for the last few days. Now we didn't have all our enrollment. But we only had 5 days of school left, and we felt like the kids had earned and been faithful and worked hard, and they had some awards coming. So we gave them a choice, optional choice, come if they wanted to, and probably a little more than half of them came. And I didn't know it. Maybe somebody else knew it, but on Friday, I believe it was, we had a half a day of school. And on Friday, the kids came out here and lined up around the flagpole, and the fire department in the city, and I believe there was the police with them too. They came by and did a parade with the fire trucks and the lights flashing and the sirens sounding off as a demonstration for the kids. Had a parade, as it were, for the kids. And I appreciate that. I appreciate those men, those firemen and policemen. I appreciate them very much. And there is a little common sense left. And it's getting to be a real stranger in the land. We don't see it often, but there's some folks still got some common sense. And there's some rising up happening, and I can hear some of you's brain waves right now. I want to pick up on one of them. Is it right, preacher, to disobey the law? Is civil disobedience all right? Well, let me speak to your bleeding heart just a minute. Do you ever find in the Bible where anybody disobeyed the law? How about the book of Daniel? Why was Daniel in the lion's den? Because he prayed when he was told not to pray. Prayed to someone he was told not to pray to, right? That's civil disobedience. But you know, kind of, I think God sided with him, don't you? You go a little further and you find the three Hebrew boys, they went in the fire, but in the fire they met Jesus. What were they doing? They were disobeying the law. They wouldn't bow to the king's music, right? You read your Bible, don't you? I mean, I know you do. Christmas, sometime Thanksgiving, all right. Civil disobedience has its place when civil disobedience is for the right against the wrong. And it was in the Bible days, and it still is today in so many cases. The church was planned by Jesus. It's here, and it has a purpose. The purpose of the church is to get the truth to the world. And you got another crowd out there that's trying to keep the truth from the world. If you're ever going to hear the truth, you're going to hear it in the house of God from a man of God preaching from the book of God. And if you don't get it there, my friend, you're not going to get it in this whole world today. Now, the purpose of the church is get the truth out. That's what the struggle, though, is all about. God references the little gods of Egypt here in verse 12. You see, the struggle's over who's going to have the kingdom, who's going to wind up with the kingdom. You know what we've been under for 3 years? We've been under a government coup, an attack to overturn old-fashioned American government. I mean, from the point of the election in 2016 on, it has been war to establish another type of government to take over America. Somebody said, we're going to have civil war. We're in the middle of civil war. The guns hadn't come out yet, but the philosophy is strong right now. It is really, really strong. And that's what's going on. It's a coup. And let me ask you, are you lacking the taste of things right now? You folks that think socialism is the answer, how does it taste to you right now? How does it taste to be told to stay home, to keep your mouth shut, to go here or there, or you can't go here or there? That's socialism. You say, but they're sending me a check. That's going to get pretty old when that check becomes worthless. You like being dictated to? I don't. I just don't. I never did appreciate President Johnson very much, but one time he said one thing I never forgot. The reporters was giving him a hard time, and they were trying to find out what he was going to do here or there, and trying to get somebody to leak something that was going to happen. And the president told him, said, yeah, I know y'all said I was going to do that, but I'm not going to do it just because you said I was. I got a little bit of that in me. I'm just not going to jump through the hoops. I'm not going to stand on my head every time they tell me to. I don't like that kind of government. I like a government that's been free, where you could think out loud, where you had the freedom of speech, where you could declare something if you were on the opposite side. And folks, we're losing that right now. We are really we got the thought police around us now. And some of you that live on the internet and you live in cyberspace, you're finding out they can drop anything they want to and cut you off anytime they want to. You're seeing that that happen today. The question is, who's going to get the kingdom? We're under a government coup. There's no doubt about it. There is a far left political party in our country that is trying to overthrow the Constitution and the American government. That's what we got. The former governor of Ohio, Ted Strickland, tried to put an amendment in at the 2012 political convention. He tried to put an amendment into the platform because it didn't have God in it anywhere. And his amendment was nothing more than this. He was going to put the words in there, our God-given potential. Wanted to get God in there somewhere. He tried to get it into that convention. It was voted down 3 times. And you know what the newspaper headline was the next day? It said, the political party booed God. You don't remember that? Yeah, far back, 2012. The leading candidate got up and said, we are going to fundamentally transform America. Well, we're being transformed. That's what the coup's about. That's what it's exactly about. You know, what you're seeing now, folks, is a rehearsal, a practice for a police state. You're not that far away. Not that far away. That's exactly what we're seeing. And you know what the police state is? It's the Antichrist state. It's the Antichrist kingdom. It's the one that will tell you you can't buy or sell unless you take the mark. It's one that will tell you you're going to shut up and do what I say or else. I don't think I'm going to like that. I'm not going to go peacefully. I may lose some friends. I probably have already. May have lost some since I started this morning. I can handle it. I'm a big boy. And my watch is about over. I don't know when the Lord's going to call it, but one thing I want to be, I want to walk into his presence unashamed that I didn't compromise his church, didn't compromise his book, didn't compromise his truth. I want to stand right on to the very end. I think the police state is very close. Satan is using a lot of men today. He's using a lot of tools. He got a real bonus when this virus thing come along. Now, I don't know whether it was planned or just by the devil himself. And all kind of arguments, you can't hardly find out what is truth, and you better be careful you do not fall for most of it. There is still one big fact above everything else. 99.9% of everybody that got the corona lived through it. Amen. That's still a fact they can't get rid of. They're labeling everybody that had stumped the big toe. It was corona. I mean it. It's the devil's tool. It's being used. We ought to be careful. We ought to be wise and all of that business. But I'd rather die with corona than to live as a cotton-picking slave under the Antichrist. It's about what it amounts to is coming if we're not careful. You know, Satan has used a lot of men. He's used a lot of tools, and this virus is a tool for him. Big tool. There's been more deaths because of the shutdown. That's in the news. Even the fake news can't hide that. More suicides, more alcoholism, more drug abuse. More all kind of things. How come we don't have a stat showing how many died because of the shutdown as well as how many died because of the virus? Amen. See, that would expose the whole thing. But yeah, there's been a coup attempt here for 3 years. And I don't know how it's going to shake out. I don't know who is going to win the next election. I do think our freedoms is really going to depend on it. But at the same time, if the bad guy wins, if he comes out of the hole and sees his shadow, or whatever else, I'm going to still stay where I stood. Amen. Well, I want to say this. The purpose of the church is still get the truth out because the truth is being fought down today. Faked, disguised, and hidden. Do you know what the price is going to be, though, if the church is destroyed? Now, I'm putting an if on that. You know what it would cost to the family structure in America? In the old days, families came to church. They found a place to belong. They found a place to fellowship with others. You found in a church where crowds came together, kids were raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Kids often married in the Lord. That's where they met their wife or met their husband. And that was the family structure that not only made the church strong, it made America strong. If you want to know when World War II came about, And the boys went off to fight, those boys came from farms and other places where they'd already learned how to work and do. And General Eisenhower himself said, we won the war because of the ingenuity of our young men. He said, we generals didn't do it. And he gave several examples where they'd meet a roadblock, where the army was stopped. And he said, the ingenuity of our own soldiers is the one that got us through the hedge, got us over the hill, and won the battle. You see, we had a foundation, a godly foundation, a spiritual foundation. And young men not only knew about the work ethic, but they had some character involved. And all of that, my friends, is just going down the tubes today. We right now are creating and seeing in this country, and I've already heard this several places, why should I go back to work? I'm making more staying home. That will destroy any country, and it's destroying us if we let it. Well, you say that's character. Uh-huh. Well, the character's been missed here for a number of years. Character that ought to be taught from the Word of God in the church and in serving the Lord and in the work ethic and in the family structure. When that goes down the tube, everything goes down the tube. And it's sadly, that is where we're looking at, what we're looking at right now. It's going to cost the family structure. Oh, there was always prodigals. And I've been pastor long enough to see a lot of them prodigals come back and get on the firing line. Come back and get right. But if the church is not there for them to come back to, if there's no foundation, if we surrender, then America is going down the tubes fast. It is now. And the church is, we ought to be the ones standing up and saying, no, we're not going any further. We're not going to accept this. We're going to stand for what's right. And this is where we draw the line. I believe a church has that responsibility before God. See, the price, if the church is destroyed, is going to cost us the family. No doubt about it. And we're seeing that damage now. I spoke a while ago about the ignorance of our history. Do you remember the days when we joke around in school and say, what color was George Washington's white horse? I'm not going to ask you because I'm afraid of some of you. That's just how dumb this place has gotten out there on the street and coming out of some of our places of higher learning. Lester Roloff said lower learning. He's right. We're seeing the damage now. It is too bad. But you know what? I have a promise from the Word of God, and that is the church is going to last till Jesus comes. Ephesians 3:21, he'll receive glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's what Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, it'll fight, and it's been a fight. There's been a fight from the blood of the martyrs on. But Jesus gave us a promise, we're going to make it to the end. Now, we're not supposed to sit down and hide and say, oh, me. No, we're supposed to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saint. That's what the scripture says. So if you get a little bit ashamed of your preacher standing up and you say, well, he's offending a lot of folks. I think about old Billy Sunday, the evangelist. Anybody ever hear him? He preached pretty hard, pretty wild, a lot of stories. Somebody came to Billy Sunday and they said, boy, this morning that sermon rubbed the fur wrong. Billy said, well, then turn the cat around. And that's exactly what we need to do, is get the cat facing the right direction. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. And what this book says is right. And what the world, if it goes different from it, it's wrong. Just as simple as that. No, it's not going to be destroyed. You see, in the text I read, God said, don't forget this big deliverance. Don't forget when I saw the blood and passed over you. Don't forget I delivered you from Egypt. Don't forget I defeated their little gods and kept the plague off of you. Don't forget that. And he's saying, I believe, to America today, don't forget your heritage. Don't forget your foundation. Don't forget the God that made this country great. And stand up. Stand up for it. No, the church is not going to be destroyed. It's going to be here as long as the Lord wants it. And the second coming is Victory Day. Did you know that? The devil wants you to see the church kind of hide in the corner and say, it always me. What can we do to please you? That's not what he says about the church in the Word of God. The truth of the matter is, we're supposed to stand for the truth, contend for the truth. Others had to die for it. You and I'm not going to hurt you now, but you and I know better than the rest of them. If it cost us a life, you could have lived 6 months longer if you'd have cowed down, or 2 years longer, What's that going to mean if you compromise before you stand before God? All right, amen. I amen myself. The second coming is victory. The Lord is coming to rescue his bride. He's got a party planned for us. It's the biggest wedding you ever could imagine. Right. Those that are saved and born again are going to be caught up to the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be caught up to a wedding in the sky. They're going to be caught up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's going to be victory time. We've been studying the book of Revelation. We look down. Now, we see the martyrs under the altar hollering out, how long? But God said, just a little while. And the truth is, that little while is getting more narrow all the time. All the time. No, the church is not going to be destroyed. It's going to be victorious in the end. He's coming back to rescue his bride. That's a truth that's been pictured in every novel, movies. I'm not trying to be light here on the end of the sermon, but I want to say, how many of you ever remember Popeye cartoons? Anybody remember who Olive Oil was? Did anybody ever remember Popeye opening a can of spinach so he could go rescue Olive Oil? So where'd they get all that from? The Bible? You didn't know that? Do you understand that olive oil is a type of the bride being rescued at the last minute by her hero? My hero's on his way. He's coming back. He don't need any spinach to help him. He's coming back for his bride. The church is his bride. It's going to be a glorious victory. Don't pout around and drag your bottom lip. Woe is me. No, we're the winners. Yes, we are. We ought to act like it sometime. And as winners, as those that know how it turns out and what God says about the whole thing, we are the ones to tell others the good news. They can be victorious in Jesus Christ. They can, listen, the greatest deliverance in the Bible was not on Passover night. That was only a picture of when the blood would be shed on Calvary that would allow God's judgment to pass over us because our sins were forgiven. You want to be delivered like the Jews were out of Egypt? Come to Calvary. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ that shed his blood, died as our substitute, paid a price that we could be delivered from the penalty of sin and the eternal fires of hell. Oh, yes. We ought to remember our deliverance. God told these Jews, set up a memorial. Remember this. This will be a memorial. Have a feast day. So you'll never forget when I delivered you from Egypt. I want to say to you, you and I should never forget to look back to Calvary, where the greatest deliverance that ever happened there. I ask you this morning, I'd say this, whose side are you on? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? To know him is to have your sins forgiven. To know him is to walk through this old sin-cursed world without fear, knowing what your destiny is and knowing what you ought to do as you represent him in this life. I ask you this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to him. I've said it several times now in the last several weeks. I can't understand why people are not running to God in the circumstances we're seeing. I just can't hardly figure that one out. Maybe it just hasn't got bad enough yet. I don't know. I'm not going to hold up any Pollyanna type sweet to you this morning. I'm going to say to you, it probably is going to get worse. But I tell you what, it won't be a thing God can't handle. He is in charge, and he has given the victory to his people. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I haven't preached the gospel so much. If there's one here without the Lord Jesus, I want to point them to Calvary. I want to tell them how they can have victory, how they can have their sins forgiven, their name written in heaven. And I pray for them right now that they would come and receive Christ today. Father, maybe they've looked around at this old world and see it self-destructing, flying apart. Freedoms are being lost. Rights are no longer our rights. Help them to look above that and look to you. And look to the victory that's theirs in the Lord Jesus Christ if they'll receive him. I pray you'd bless the invitation today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe God's asked you to do something else. Maybe join a church. Maybe come for prayer. Maybe just vow to yourself where you stand that you are going to stand. Amen. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
How about you this morning? How about you?
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to
tell it before, probably on Memorial Day. 1944, Germany was marching into the streets of Paris, France, taking over. They would be under German rule, under the martial law, they would declare. French armies had been defeated. There was some French underground still fighting, but France had lost to Germany, 1944. If you know anything about the history of France, they were a nation that led in atheism. Been doing that for a number of years. Churches were dying back. And you'd still find it where it was written in a newspaper, where a reporter out in the street on Sunday morning, the German army was marching in. And the reporter said this. He said, to my surprise, doors of houses begin to open, and of all things, people begin to go to church, something they had not been doing. But now, as the German armies was marching in the streets of Paris, all of a sudden, people started going to church. I hope we don't wait that late in America. By the way, if God had not intervened with a nation called America, those Frenchmen would be speaking German today. You know what I just said? God has used this country to keep freedom in the world, keep God's truth in the world. Generations before us didn't have it easy, folks. They had their challenges. I hope my generation stands a challenge. I don't believe they got a lot of time, but I won't stand true till he comes. All right. Thank you, folks. Okay. You say it. Slavens. Say it again.
Slavens.
Clavin.
Slavens.
Slavin. All right. You folks, Patrick and Catherine, stand up here with us, please. These folks are coming and joining the church. That's a good thing. Amen. And we praise the Lord to have them. And have y'all moved into the area?
February.
All right. Good. You know, during this shutdown, we've actually had folks drive from Tampa on a regular basis and some other pretty way, good ways off. So by the grace of God, we're still here. Amen. And God's still blessing. Folks, it's so good to have you. Have a motion to receive these, if I've stated, and show them hands and so carried. Come by and shake hands with them. Come by and talk to them. Tell them you're glad they joined, that they've got, this is the best preacher in the world, and just some nice things you could say to them this morning. Amen. All right, it is good to have you folks. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. And Brother Perkins, you want to dismiss us, please?
Father, we do love you. We thank you for the morning. We thank you for our pastor, Lord, and the stand he's taken. And Father, we want to thank you once again for all of our veterans, Lord, and sacrifices that they've given for our nation and their families, Father. And Lord, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We'll love you and we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.